Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
That is awesome. I love the sound of many waters, women talking all at once. I love it. What a privilege to be with you here on Woman Rock 2017, and we are so honored to have and be hosting Marilyn Hickey this weekend. We want to give her as much time as she'll give us and sit at her feet and listen to what she said. And so if I could have not been here as a speaker, I would have. I said, no, let Marilyn have it all because I just want to hear what she has to say. But Jess wouldn't let me out of this. And so I have a short word. We're going to pray for that. And it comes out of a life that I've been living for the last couple of years. And I'm not speaking to the first three rows of this church. I'm speaking to all of you girls that are past the first three rows. Because God's got your number. And life happens. And we love you. You don't know me, probably. Maybe you do, but I've prayed for you, and I love you, and I am blessed and honored to be a part of the women's ministry here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. There's nothing more humbling and more privileged than to teach the Word of God. So will you stand to your feet with me, and let's go before the Father, because the Holy Spirit's the teacher. I have nothing to say, but He has a lot to say. And He knows how to say it. So, Father, here we are, and we are honored to be called daughters of God. Before anyone knew us, you did. You ordained us, and you brought us forth. You named us. You have our hairs counted. Some of us have a lot less than others. Lord, as we open your word today, please open our hearts. Please speak to us. Teach us. Nail us, do what you need to do. Be honest with us. As we open our hearts, we want to be honest with you. So we ask, Lord, that you would do the work that only you can do as Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, in heaven, I'm going to have big hair and lots of it. I have asked the Lord for that. So if you don't recognize me in heaven, it's because of all the hair I have. Some of you walk by me and I just want to grab your hair and just say, wow, how did you do that? I have hair envy. Oh, you're so kind. You know, one of the great things about aging is that you die to yourself. And because you look in the mirror and you go, oh, when did my mother move in with me? God has a way, doesn't he? And it's a good way, and it's the only way. And today, I want to address a topic. This conference is Hearts Ablaze, and I wanted to address the topic of rekindling the flame. Some of you are living in a season that is so good, and you are flying, and you are in a season where you are enjoying life, and dreams are coming to pass, and prayers are being answered. And those are wonderful seasons. Treasure them and enjoy them and live in those moments because those are wonderful, wonderful moments when you get to partake of the fruit of your faith and the fruit of your dreams. But life is not always in the harvesting mode. Sometimes it's sowing and we don't see things and things happen to us and life happens to us. And before you know it, what was once a great love affair with God grows a little cold, a little dim. And the fires, they diminish. And the things that you used to do and the things that you once loved to do and the things that you would never catch yourself doing, you find yourself doing now. It's kind of called backsliding sometimes. You know, the things that you'd never tolerate, now you tolerate. I'd never watch an R movie, now you're kind of watching R movies and you know, some of that stuff that's on TV, it's very enticing. Good stories, and you want a good story. I know because I've watched Downton Abbey now twice. All of it, all six series. But it's PG or G, so I'm okay. I won't tell you about the stuff I've watched that I shouldn't have. But I want to be honest with you, and I want you to be honest with God. Because Jack Hayford once taught me years ago that pastors teach their flocks by the things that God is dealing with them about. So I've been living this and dealing with this. And so I thought maybe it would just be a good 30-minute session to just talk to you about rekindling the flame, getting passionate for God again. Some of you, like I said, if you get any more passionate, you're going to fly through the ceiling here, and we're going to have to, you know, rope you down. Some of you aren't there, so I want to look at some things about rekindling the flame. You know, I think about marriage and how when you were born, I mean, when you were married and you got married to that man, any of you married in here? Do you remember your first love? Do you remember how you just couldn't wait to be with him? And when you finally got married, it was like, now you can finally get some sleep because you can actually be together. And one of Miranda's or Jess's best friends says it's like having a slumber party with your best friend when you finally get married. And you just want to be with them all the time, and you can't get enough of them, and you just want to learn all about them, and you want to know them, and you want to dream together and build a life together. It's called first love. Have you ever had that? But then as marriage goes on, things happen and life happens. And those embers cool and they slow down and love changes. And I think that's exactly what happens sometimes in our Christian walk. We start out passionate and on fire for God. But then life comes at us and life happens. And before you know it, you've cooled off and you don't know why. Or you don't even know that you've cooled off. But something's not right. And you're not as happy as you used to be. And you're not as excited about life as you used to be. And maybe you don't have a dream anymore. Marilyn talked about your dream. Some of you don't know how to dream and some of you don't have dreams. Not yet. But hang on. Because at this conference, God's going to speak to you. Because God has a purpose and a plan. And there's no wasted seasons and there's no wasted time in God. So no matter what season you're in, God knows you and he's got you there on purpose for purpose. And so I wanted to look today about rekindling the flame. And maybe if that's you, if you've noticed that you've cooled off with your relationship with the Lord and life has changed and you've changed, I want to address these things. And I want to go to the Old Testament because I was thinking about this and I was thinking, Lord, what is it that causes us to rebuild this fire? And he took me to the Old Testament, and I just want to go there for just a moment in Leviticus. And Marilyn, you know, gosh, how do you teach after Marilyn Hickey? God, this is a little intimidating, let me tell you. So just bear with me. I've never been a great teacher. I'm just here because I love you. Because Jim and I started this church 29 years ago, and we raised our family here, and God planted us in this city. And I love this city, and I love you, and I love women. And I know you. And I know your lives, and I know you put your smiles on and you say everything's great, but it's not great because you go home and there's a lot of things in your life that aren't great. So let's just be real, can we? Because God knows that. He knows your lives and he knows what you're facing and he knows what you're dealing with. He knows your secret dreams, your secret desires, and he knows the stuff you've done that you shouldn't have done. Yeah, how about that? And guess what? He's not mad at you. He's not going to throw you away. He's not going to get rid of you. He's not going to put you on a shelf, but he does want to talk to you. And so he took me to the book of Leviticus. Now, who teaches out of the book of Leviticus? Only Marilyn Hickey. God, help me. And in the book of Leviticus, in the sixth chapter of Leviticus, there is a picture of the brazen altar. And the brazen altar was where they brought the sacrifice, where the priests would have a sacrifice. They would kill the animal. They would shed its blood. They would carry its blood into the inner sanctuary of the holy place and then the holy of holies. But that blood, that sacrifice was a substitution. That animal lost its life. And that blood from that animal atoned. It covered Israel for that sin. And you couldn't approach God without the blood. Without the atonement, because God was holy and our sin kept us from God. Are you with me? So in the Old Testament, which is a picture of the New Testament, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, he's in all of this. Get Marilyn's book. But from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is woven through this entire book. So looking at the brazen altar, I just thought I'd show you a video for 1 minute and 33 seconds that just reads the scripture and shows it to you. Is that all right? Okay, here we go.
And he made the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof, 4 square, and 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof upon the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of 1 piece with it, and he overlaid it with copper. And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots and the shovels and the basins, the flesh hooks and the fire pans, all the vessels thereof made he of copper. And he made for the altar a grating of network of copper, under the ledge round it beneath, reaching halfway up. And he cast four rings for the four ends of the grating of copper, to be holders for the staves. And he made the staves of acacia wood, and overlaid them with copper. And he put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar, wherewith to bear it, he made it hollow with planks. Exodus chapter 38, verses 1 through 7.
Now, why this is important is because the fire came from God and it started this whole thing. And he said, and I'm going to read this to you in Leviticus chapter 6, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command Aaron and his sons, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. So what in the world has a burnt offering and an altar got to do with you and me in the 21st century as women living in America, raising families and doing life here and rekindling the flames? Well, I'm glad you asked, because it's got a lot to do with it. Because everything in the Old Testament says something about the New Testament. Everything is a picture and a similitude of what was going to happen in the spirit realm when Jesus came and came as the sacrificial offering for you and I. He died. All the sin of the world, my sin, your sin, was imputed on him, imparted to him. He rose from the dead. And when you and I believe on Jesus Christ, we are now cleansed from all sin that we've ever done or ever will do. We are holy before the Lord. We are cleansed as if we've never sinned. That's what justification means, just as if you never sinned. Because he was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, and we believed it, and we've been born again. His Spirit is now in us. The Holy Spirit has rebirthed our spirit. It is now alive unto God, because death does not mean a ceasing to exist. When you died spiritually, you were separated from God. So was I. Adam and Eve sinned. They separated from God, and it was passed on to us. We are born in that state. God says, I don't want you in that state. I want you to be joined back to me. That's why I brought my son. He's the express image of God. We couldn't see God, so God says, I'm going to come and you're going to see what I'm really like. And not only that, but I'm going to become one of you. I'm going to walk in your shoes. I'm going to walk on the planet. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be your sacrifice, because you can't save yourselves. And when you believe on me, I'm going to translate you out of the kingdom of darkness, and I'm going to bring you into the kingdom of my dear son, the kingdom of Almighty God, where anything is possible, and you're going to find out what it's really like to be a daughter and a son of God. So we know that he's the sacrifice. So what is the offering and the burnt altar got to do with fire? Well, it's got everything, because God had them do certain things for a certain reason. Now, Marilyn just said nobody teaches out of Leviticus. It's not exactly the most exciting book in the world, but there are symbols and lessons in these things. And I need to know how to keep the fire burning. I need to know that when it's dark and when the offering, my sacrifice, my life is burning through the night, how do I keep the flames going? How do I rekindle that? How do I keep the fire from not going out? Because life is going to happen, and sometimes you're going to feel like somebody's dumped water on you. You've had a flood and there's no flame left. So how do we do this? And I believe that there's three things in this passage of scripture that teaches me and teaches you how we can rekindle the flame and keep it burning through the night, perpetually, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until God calls us home and we get to be with Him face to face. Are you with me? So what are these things? Well, I don't have a lot of time, so let's go. Listen, our devotion and our passion for God is what guides the way we live. Our devotion and our passion for God is what guides the way we live. It's what makes us choose. It's how we choose and make our choices. It's how much and how devoted and how passionate we are for God. Little passion, lukewarm, little God. You know, I heard Brian Houston say once, people can live saved or they can live called. When you live called, you live your life according to what God says, and you follow Him, and your life is tied up with Him. That's being called. Many are called, but few are chosen. When you live saved, God's in your life, but you live it your way. You'll make it to heaven, maybe, but you're never going to experience the things that God has for you, or the ultimate life that God chose for you, and His works were already chosen for you. You just had to walk in them. But the enemy wants to steal the fire and steal the flame and mess us up. So life happens. So there are many Bible ways to build a life full of fire, but I just want to look at just three from this passage of Scripture. So how do I do that? What's in the brazen altar? Well, I'm glad you asked. When you brought a burnt offering to the brazen altar, the offering was completely burnt up. There was nothing left. My mouth is so dry. I'm so sorry. The burnt offering was completely consumed, and it lit the fire, and it kept the fire going. It had to burn all through the night. So what has this got to do with me? Well, they said, first and foremost, you got to bring the offering. You're priest. Now, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that we are to show forth the praises of God. Can I have that up? Do I have that on the thing? For you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you've received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor. They will give honor. They will give honor to God when He judges the world. Our lives are living testaments. We're kings and priests on this earth. The sacrifice has been made for us. But God tells me that I've got to, like the priests, daily bring the burnt offering. I mean, what does that mean? He doesn't want me to die. If He wanted us dead, we'd be dead. He wants living sacrifices. Romans chapter 1, you guys know these verses. They are so common. Can I have it up from the Message Bible? So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Could we just read that again? Could I have it back up? Here's what I want you to do. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You know, you can look at Marilyn Hickey, and I can look at Marilyn Hickey, and I can just go, my gosh, Lord, she has changed the world. What have I done? But you see, God didn't call me to be Marilyn Hickey. He didn't call you to be Debbie Cobray. He called you to be the best you can be. And He says, I want you, child, I want you, daughter, to take your everyday life, your ordinary life. And sometimes we are so ordinary that we're bored with ourselves. Right? But take your ordinary, your walking, your sleeping, your eating. How about that one? You're eating, going to work and walking around life. And He says, I want you to bring it to me every day as a daily sacrifice. So the first thing, if I'm going to rekindle the flame, is I got to take my life to God every day. My ordinary life. The life that's not exciting, the life that I'm not excited about, the life that sometimes is a drudgery to me, the life where I'm cleaning the house, changing the diapers, trying to stay married to a man that maybe doesn't want to work. How about you single moms going home every day, playing double duty? How about you single girls that are hungry to be married because there's a bride on the inside of you and you just want to love a man, but he hasn't come yet? You see, life happens. How about you older girls where, you know what, you look in the mirror and it seems like your life is passing by and you wonder, will I ever do anything for God? Is my life going to count for anything? You're ordinary. You see, this is the thing. God takes the ordinary. He takes the common. He takes the everyday that nobody looks at and nobody cares about. And he says, now I can do something with that girl because she's bringing her life to me every day as a living sacrifice. So the first thing I got to do is I got to be the sacrifice. That means you get up in the morning, and if you didn't pray, if you've gotten out of a habit of prayer, which I had gotten out of for a year when I turned around and walked away from this, there's a lot that happened in my life in these last 2 years. I didn't want to pray like I used to pray. I didn't want to read the word like I used to read the word. I was frustrated with God. I didn't have a dream anymore. My dream was fulfilled. What do I do now? My life is ordinary, God. What am I going to do now? My whole identity was what I do for you. I'm working and I'm serving the saints and now I'm not doing anything. I got to take my hands off and I got to step away so the next generation can step forward. So I'm preaching out of my life. What do you do when you look at your life and you say, I'm not so sure I like it? You see, that's when God wants it. That's when God says, now it's a sacrifice. I want it. You may not want it. But I'm going to change that because you've got a beating heart on the inside of you and I've given you life and life is everything and these moments are everything. It's a gift from God and I don't want you depressed. I don't want you discouraged. I want you to be alive and full of fire and passion and faith for me. But I understand where you're at, so just bring me your ordinary life. Number one. Number two, the next thing he says is that this is mine. Be the daily sacrifice. And I got to go where the holy is because I can't be living for God and bringing my life to him if I don't walk in the spirit. I got to go where the holy is. And I got this out of a book called The Mysteries. Jesse gave me that book. What is it called? What is it called? The Mysteries. Memory. I have the mind of Christ. Written by our Messianic rabbi. It's a great devotional. And in this book, he had a day, a devotional, and this is how it went. And I'll tell you the story. And he's teaching his disciple, and the wind is blowing. Now, remember, my point is, number two, go where the holy is. You got that? Be the sacrifice, go where the holy is point two. I'm going to try to be like Marilyn, get you to repeat it. You want to put your hand on your heart, say, I am the sacrifice. Number two, I'm going where the holy is. Okay, well, here's the story on that. Out of this devotional, the teacher said, the wind is really blowing. I want to take you out into the desert, and I want you to walk against the wind. And so the disciple walked against the wind, and there are probably 40 knot winds, and it was very difficult. And he said, what are you feeling? And he said, it's hard. I'm being resisted. The sand is in my face, and it's difficult to walk. And he said, that's exactly right, because you are walking against the wind. And he said, in the Hebrew, the word for wind is ruach. But the word for spirit is ruach, wind. That's the word for spirit. So he said, now I want you to turn around and I want you to walk with the wind. And he began walking with the wind and he says, what do you feel? And he says, it's much easier. I'm not resisted. I can walk and the sand is not biting at my face. And he said, in God's word, the Holy Spirit, the holy wind of God is going where the holy is. Did you hear that? He's going where the holy is. So I figure if I can just start walking where the holy is, I'm walking with the Spirit. How simple is that? Now, what is holy? Well, God's holy. His word is holy. I love one great pastor's definition of holy. It's never diminished, never less than what it is. God is holy. Hagios, pure. God is absolutely holy. What does that mean? It means that God never runs out of who he is. God is absolute goodness. He doesn't stop being good. There's no evil or shadow of turning in God. He is incapable of evil. He is only good. God is all-powerful, omnipotent. God's power emanates from him into all of creation, and he breathes life and gives life to all of creation. He is never less than who he is. He's never diminished. He's never weary. He never runs out. He never stops. He is altogether holy and always whole. Now, he's made us holy. And he's told me to walk in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. So all I have to do in my life is walk where the Holy is. Walk where God's word is. Walk where God is. Walk what God says is right. Walk what God says. When God says it's not right, I'm not going to walk there. I'm going to walk away. Walk where the Holy is. In your eating, your sleeping, your drinking, your everyday life. Go where the Holy is. Ask yourself, Lord, what directions am I walking that aren't where the Holy is? Don't walk there anymore. Ask him to help you to stop lying. So many things. And you know what this is called? This is called sin. And what it does is it keeps us from God, and it dims and it quenches our fire. That's why he said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we don't want you to be in sin consciousness, always thinking you're a poor old sinner and God hates you. We know that we are righteous and we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and he's made us holy by position, but he's also said by practice, be holy as I am holy. Be holy, child. Walk where the Holy is. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Can I have that scripture up out of Romans? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Keep going. And the priest shall put on his linen. That's not it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You and I are going to have life a lot easier when you go where the Holy is. Number two. So if things are hard, maybe you're not walking where the Holy is. Okay, number three. You ready? Number three, point number three, stay in the day. What does that mean, stay in the day? Well, let's read Leviticus chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. The priest carries out the ashes from the altar. They cannot cling to their bodies, but they must go outside the camp. And there's a reason for this. The ashes are the endings of that which has been consumed. So in Leviticus chapter 6, let me find it in my Bible. It says, and the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers, and he shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. What has this got to do with you and me? Listen. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. God is saying something. Can I have a picture of ashes? There you go. All right, so here's the burnt offering. The fire is going all the time, 24 hours a day, right? Remember, this is a physical picture of a spiritual answer, all right? Now, how do we keep the fires burning? Well, first there has to be a sacrifice, so I'm it, living sacrifice every day. If you don't have anything else, any other time in your day, you get in your car and you say, God, I'm giving you my ordinary everyday life. Today, I'm offering myself up to you. Please let me be led by your Holy Spirit. Help me to be and go where the Holy is. All right? Points one and two. Number three. Now God says, because the fire has to be kept going, something happens when something is consumed. It's called ashes. There's ashes. Ashes cannot ignite another fire. Ashes will stop a fire. When everything has been consumed and can no longer burn, it becomes ash. And if you don't remove the ashes will stop the fires from burning. Therefore, the priest had to daily change his clothes, and he had to gather the ashes, and he had to take them outside the camp every day to a clean place and leave them there so the fires of the brazen altar could keep going. Now, what has that got to do with you and me rekindling the fire? Well, let's think about that. ashes are that which has already been consumed. It's already burnt up. There's nothing left. That's my yesterdays. That is my yesterdays. Yesterday is gone. It has been consumed. It is now in the past. It is not in my future, and it's not my present, because my present is today. Therefore, I have to daily take out the ashes. I got to take out the trash. I got to stay in the day. I got to stay in the day. Because if the enemy can get my mind distracted and get me off of the day and onto tomorrow, or looking back to yesterday, then I'm going to miss the very thing that God wants to do in my life today. And he needs a fire to burn today. It's already burnt yesterday. And there's one that's going to have to be lit for tomorrow. So I better put some fuel on today. And that means I got to stay in today. Now, here's the wonderful thing about God, is he has called us to live in one day. One day at a time. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Right? He said, Paul said, I die daily. He said, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is being renewed day by day. That tells me that God's called me to live in a 24-hour earth time period and not look at tomorrow and not think about yesterday, but concentrate on my daily life now. So you know what that means? That means I can't live on yesterday's accolades. What I did, you know what? I got depressed. When Jim and I turned the church over to the next generation, and Luke and Stacy and Jess and Dan, and we knew it was God telling us to take our hands off so the next generation could put their hands on. Guys, it was like I got off of the ride Viper, you know, that roller coaster. And I love Viper. I went on it 7 times once. Just nobody was there at Knott's Berry Farm, and I went on it. Jim let me go on it 7 times. I mean, I love roller coasters. I love fast. I love energy. I love going. I'm a little hyper. I don't know why people say that, but they say I'm a little hyper. It was like I got off a Viper and I sat down. It was like God took me and just said, no, I'm just going to put you on a shelf. So I watched every TV thing. I completely binged on television. Read every book I could find. Did everything I thought. And then I stopped teaching. I stopped reading the Bible because I had nowhere to teach. And it was like, I'm frustrated. And Jim doesn't want me to preach at him anymore. So I'm just going to read this and just, you know, okay. So finally, I just said, Lord, I'm just not going to study anymore. Not now. It's just too hard. You see, you can't live your life looking back at what was. You can't live your life looking back at maybe that great marriage and that man left you. You can't live your life looking back and saying, I was healthy once. I was thin once. I gained 20 pounds. I can't get into anything. Thank God for clothes that cover you. What am I saying? You can look at what was and you can live your life on what you used to be, or you can live your life on today and who God has made you to be in the day. Stay in the day. Now look, that works just the same way with the bad. You can look back because you got ashes from the bad. And you can look back and you can say, well, you know, this happened to me. And if it hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't be like this now. And you can look back at those ashes, and those ashes are just going to quench what God wants to do today. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 31 that she does not eat the bread of self-pity. It's so easy to eat the bread of self-pity. First of all, it's full of carbs and butter. It's delicious. I'm sure there's some sugar in there too. And that self-pity spirit, it just sits on your shoulder and just tells you, no one gets you, no one understands. And if this hadn't happened, you wouldn't be this way. And he feeds into your victim mentality. And before you know it, you don't want to be a victim, but before you know it, you become a victim of your past, of what's happened, that divorce, that man that doesn't help you with the kids. You single moms, you're playing double duty. And this is hard for you because you go home and you don't have a lot of help at home. But you've got a father to the fatherless who goes with you when you go to your homes. And he says, I will take care of the widow. I will give her a double portion. I will be her strength and her grace. Don't eat the bread of self-pity and complaining. And God says, and if you could just put this up in Matthew, Jesus was talking. And he was living the fulfillment of Isaiah 42. where God writes about the Messiah that's coming. A bruised reed I will not break, and a smoldering flax I will not extinguish, until I bring justice forth to the Gentiles. He says, I'm not going to cry out aloud in the streets. I'm not going to holler and make my way. I'm going to just silently come in as God. God slips into humanity. God slipped in so well that he put himself in flesh. And God walked the earth with us, and he walked with the widows, and he walked with the adulterous, and he walked with broken people. He said, I know you're broken. Sin has broken you, and I'm not going to condemn, and I'm not going to tear you to pieces. I'm here to heal you. I'm not here to stop your fire and to quench any flame that you may have left. So if you're feeling like, God, if I have to do one more thing, if I have to hear one more thing, then I'm just not going to make it. Let him breathe life into your broken hearts, into your broken lives, because he didn't come to keep you in a broken life. He came to give you life and to give it abundantly and to get you through the hard time and to get you past all that you've been through and to bring you into victory, and a victory that you will go, I could not even imagine how good God is or that he had this for me. I'm a living testimony of that. Ashes, you have to take them out every day. You've got to live in the day, and you've got to empty the trash. And listen, you got to change the channel. You've got to change the channel. You know, you've got that remote in your hand, and you can change those channels. You ever been eating, and all of a sudden there's some kind of science thing on about they're doing surgery on somebody, and you see all the blood and guts, and you're eating. You change that channel so fast, you're not going to land on that. Well, you got to do the same thing with your past, with the ashes of the past, whether they're good or they're bad. You got to change that channel and move on. So number one, I have to be the sacrifice daily. I have to give him my common life, not my great life, my common life. I've got to go where the holy is. I got to stay in the day. And here's the last one. You got to put wood on the fire. You got to put wood on the fire. Stay connected. Leviticus 6:12-13 says, and the fire upon the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be allowed to go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn on it the fat and the peace offerings. The fire shall burn continuously upon the altar. It shall not go out. You got to put wood on the fire. How do I do that? How do I put wood on the fire? One single log is not going to stay lit. It's wood. It's plural. You've got to put more than one. You got to stay connected. You weren't made to do life alone. Life may not be hard. You may not want to be in church. You may be discouraged. You may even be under some kind of depression, and that's okay. You can be depressed and come out of it, because he doesn't want you depressed. He wants you full of joy, and his joy, not the happiness of this world, but the joy of the Lord that is my strength. Not what my life is, but what my life is becoming. Not in the season that I necessarily am in, but that season is not going to stay. It's a season. My mother-in-law, Ellen, always had this saying from the old country. She was Yugoslavian. She says, everything comes to pass. Everything comes to pass. Everything comes to pass. The good and the bad. There's seasons in our lives. God says, stay in the moment, stay in the day, and stay connected. You got to keep the wood on. And this is my last verse, and I'll quit with this, because this is everything to me as a pastor. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable and sure and faithful to his word. Jesus can be trusted. He will never let you down. As an old woman, I could say to you, if I could say one thing to you besides all of these words, I'd say never worry again. Never worry again about anything, because he's got you. He holds you. He keeps you. He's got your back. He's got your front. He's got your sides. He loves you, and he's not going to let go of you. And this says, and let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. That's why we need each other. That's why I've fought for women's ministry for 30 years. I don't like women. I don't do women's ministry. Well, you know, you're missing it, because we are magnificent. We are magnificent. We are made in the image of God, and we are the daughters of God. And we're all a little quirky. Thank God we're all a little weird. It's, you know, the family. The family has drama. That's just who we are. But I absolutely adore us. I adore women. You are the most amazing beings I have ever met. You have spaghetti for brains. You can go back and forth like, you know, a superhighway. You absolutely can do many things at one time. You are amazing. The men can't do that. You can, you know when life is coming before anybody else does. That's why I think it's so important that God says, I need my girls to rekindle the flame. I need them to be the sacrifice. I need them to go where the holy is. I need them to stay in the day, and I need them to put wood on the fire. Get together and stay together, and don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves even more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because God needs his women to birth and give life and to bring faith and hope to the church and to the world. He made us with a womb. He made us in his image. We know things before the men do. Yeah, we can get a little weird and emotional and we cry and, you know, the men don't like that and they get all uncomfortable, but we're not with them right now. We're with us. We can cry 1 minute and we go shopping the next. Woo! Man, we had dinner with Marilyn last night. There was 15 of us around a table, 15 of women that I just adore. Here we are meeting Marilyn. We're all a little nervous, you know, and she's so gracious. And she's teaching us about how many, I mean, she's memorized books of the Bible. I'm thinking, God, am I even saved? Am I making heaven? Then she tells us about all the nations that she's praying over, and we're all just going, oh, praying over the nations. That's what I need to do more. I need to pray over the nations. Then she's telling us about Pakistan. 500,000 people got saved. Oh my gosh, a revival in Pakistan. And then she tells us about her favorite store, Zara, and that she likes to go there. Dr. Vanessa instantly whips out her phone, finds the thing for Zara. We're all shopping on Zara in the next moment. We went from praying over nations, we went from revival to shopping on Zara. Now, don't tell me that's not magnificent. That's the girls. I think he just absolutely loves us. The men can't do that, but we can. He needs us. He needs us to rekindle the flame. A bruised reed he won't break. A smoldering flax. If you think your light's going out, oh, he's going to breathe on it. He wants to keep you and hold you and strengthen you. Know that you're not alone and that he's with you. And this is just a season. You'll get through this season and learn from this season. But oh, there's hope in the future. Stay in the day. So four things. Number one, let's be the sacrifice. Living, not dead. Let's go where the holy is. Let's be led by the Spirit. We just have to follow where the holy is. Let's stay in the moment. Let's stay in the day. Don't look back. And let's pile the wood on the fire. Let's stay connected. We need each other. God made us to be a family. I love you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.